Eliza Reed will be the first to tell you that she has an eclectic mix of jobs. She's a writer, also a co-founder of the annual Iceland Writers Retreat. And, oh yeah, she's also the First Lady of Iceland. Reed has been outspoken about what she calls outdated assumptions and expectations that come with the role. She even wrote an op-ed recently in the New York Times about that. Iceland's First Lady, Eliza Reed, came by our studio in Boston. You wrote this op-ed earlier this fall where you were pretty frank in saying the position of First Lady is an incredibly weird job. What is the weirdest part about it?
Getting used to the fact that you are known primarily as somebody else's spouse instead of yourself. That's a strange adjustment to make. And it's the fact that this job is really undefined. I mean, it's not even a job. I wasn't elected to a position and I don't have a salary or a staff or anything. But there's also certain expectations that I accompany my husband on certain trips or greet foreign dignitaries and things like that. And I think, you know, I'm in this position. I want to be active. I think we need to be hearing women's voices more these days. And so that's the way that I kind of confound expectations about being maybe the female spouse of a head of state, is saying, you know, I'm married to this person, this great guy who's a president, but I also have my own opinion and voice.
So you're a writer, as I said. You run this writer's retreat in Iceland. Have you been kind of coaxed into doing other kind of First Lady mission stuff, you know? Do you have a special First
Sure.
Lady cause?
Right.
Or do you reject that?
I firmly believe that that is somebody's choice. So I do a lot of things and I try to be very active, but I also see it very much as my choice to do so. So the areas that I work on a lot are promoting of literature and literacy, maybe because of this background that I have. Also to do with gender equality, which really interests me. And Iceland is a global leader in gender equality. I'm also an immigrant to Iceland. I grew up in Canada. And so immigrant issues, multiculturalism are important to me, and issues like entrepreneurship and innovation. And I try to promote that sort of dimension of Iceland as well.
There is this pretty incredible line in your op-ed. I am not my husband's handbag to be snatched as he runs out the door and displayed silently by his side during public appearances. Do you feel like that's happened to you? And
On occasion, yeah. I think what happens is, again, it's that assumption that my husband would agree to attend a function, and therefore the assumption was that I would just be with him, as if I didn't have to be invited separately. I almost refer to it in the article as sort of the stifling of my identity by 1,000 paper cuts. I mean, I appreciate that I'm in an incredibly privileged position, and I enjoy it very much, so I don't want to give the impression that I'm complaining, but I feel that it's very important to come forward and show that women, especially, they're not accessories to their spouses.
So what do you have to do to change this? How do you get to a point where a first lady or a first man is simply the spouse of the leader and they have a job too and they have a life?
The choice to use the platform should be up to him or her. And then otherwise, if there's going to be some sort of a defined position that someone has to do, then people have to look at that in terms of elections and salaries and all that other sort of thing.
You were, as you said, born and raised in Canada. How did you meet your husband?
But we were in graduate school together. We studied in the United Kingdom, but we first kind of met during a fundraiser for the rowing crew. He was on the rowing crew and I was too. And he had to draw a name out of a cup to take a person on a date, but I stuffed the cup with my name. So it wasn't
like
very democratic.
A dozen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think probably mine was the only name there.
Very clever.
Yeah.
And you touched on this earlier. What's your perspective of being a Canadian immigrant as well as a figurehead in Iceland?
It's important to me in Iceland, because people know that I'm an immigrant, to use my voice even more, because I speak Icelandic with an accent. I speak it imperfectly. And in a country where immigration is a relatively new phenomenon, or larger immigration, I also think it's very important that people see that just because I have an accent doesn't mean I shouldn't talk and doesn't mean I should only talk about immigrant issues, quote unquote.
Just on a day-to-day basis, what is your life like? I mean, are you followed around by security? Do you have, like, is there an Icelandic White House?
There is an official presidential residence, that's right. A little less security than I think people in the States might be used to. It's great, actually, because every day is different. You know, some days are really busy. There's speeches, there's events, there's attending things. Some days you're traveling within Iceland or abroad. Some days are what I like to call no makeup days, when I'm just working at home on my computer. That's one of the things that I feel so privileged by and that I enjoy so much, is it's so diverse. And we have such an opportunity to meet so many people. And I'm so grateful, you know, especially in Iceland, we travel around and there's so many people doing so many things for the country. It's a really privileged opportunity to be able to get to know these people and what they're doing.
Eliza Reed is the First Lady of Iceland. Thanks very much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.